Welcome to our introduction of the Hound of the Baskervilles. I'm Jan Anderson, and I'm the newest member of the AD team. Mim Bernard and Brenda Hennessy will be audio describing the show on Saturday, March the 14th at 2:15 p.m. We'll let you know the time of the touch tour, and we'll meet you in the foyer in front of the box office a few minutes beforehand. Running time for the show is 2 hours and 40 minutes, including a 20-minute interval. If you think you know the classic Hound of the Baskervilles story and are expecting a serious adaptation, then be prepared to think again. This is a fast-paced, irreverent caper of a script, with the talented cast of 4 actors playing over 20 characters between them. It's full of physical comedy, endless gags, rapid costume changes, exaggerated accents, interesting facial hair, and far too many props to list them all in this introduction. Originally developed in 2007 by the actor and playwright John Nicholson, together with comedy writer and producer Stephen Canny, this version is directed for the New Vic by Joyce Branner. In brief, Sherlock Holmes and his partner, Dr. Watson, are engaged to investigate the mysterious death of Sir Charles Baskerville on the wilds of Dartmoor. The footprints of a giant black hound, which has long plagued the Baskerville line, have been found next to his body. Claiming he is too busy in London, Holmes sends Watson to Devon to be his eyes and ears, accompanied by the current heir, Sir Henry Baskerville. On arrival, they encounter the escaped convict, Slasher Selden, as well as several other potential suspects. These include Mr. and Mrs. Barrymore, the domestic staff, and the naturalist, Jack Stapleton. Their suspicious behaviours deepen the threads of the mystery, creating mayhem and misdirection before the dramatic denouement on a foggy night on the moor. And, just to add to the confusion, the cast break the fourth wall at the start and end of each half, introducing the play and themselves to the audience, and later recapping the story thus far. As the mystery unfolds, we discover that the connections between the actors, in inverted commas, deliberately reflects those between their characters. So sit back and enjoy this mischievous and very silly adventure. Before I describe the set, I'll tell you first about the auditorium, in case you haven't visited this theatre before. The New Vic is a theatre in the round, with tiered upholstered purple seats surrounding a 10-metre diameter circular stage. The stage floor accommodates a number of concealed openings called traps, through which actors, props and scenery can be brought on and off stage. 3 evenly spaced tunnel-like entrances lead up and onto stage. 2 entrances are used by actors and audiences, and the third, slightly larger, main entrance is used only by actors. Thinking of a clock face, if the main entrance is at 12 o'clock, the other two are at 4 and 8 o'clock. During the audio description, we'll name the 4 o'clock entrance the right entrance and the 8 o'clock entrance the left entrance. By the main entrance at 1 o'clock and by the left entrance at 9 o'clock, there are 2 sections of acting space we call notches. Behind the audience seating at the back is a circular pathway known as the promenade. From it, 5 sets of aisle steps lead down to the stage. In the aisles, at the end of each row of seats, there are small handrails to assist ascent and descent. The aisles and promenade are used by both audience and actors. Above the promenade, a balcony houses 2 rows of seats and is edged with a safety barrier. Fixed high above the stage is a large lighting rig, complete with walkways, known as the grid. Props, other equipment and elements of the set may be stowed or suspended from here. Now for the set itself. Elizabeth Wright has designed both the set and the costumes, drawing her inspiration from the colours and stylized designs of vintage travel posters. Although there are many and frequent scene changes, the basic set has been kept fairly simple. As the play opens, the moonlit stage is covered in dark grey vinyl flooring, daubed with swathes of purple and pink, mossy green, stone and blue, echoing the drifts of heather and otherworldly beauty of Dartmoor's rugged granite landscape. In the 9 o'clock notch, a 2-metre-high pile of boulders fills the space. Referred to throughout as the Cleft Tor, actors will scramble up and down these rocks. A pair of round boulders nestle in the corner of the 1 o'clock notch. 9 others will be brought on and dotted around the stage in subsequent scenes. The Grimpen Mire, announced each time it appears with a gaudy neon sign, is a notoriously boggy area. Wheeled on and off stage as required, it is constructed of 2 grey oval pools, edged with boulders, each approximately 1.5 metres long by 1 metre wide. The bare black remains of stunted trees sprout from some of the boulders. Reeds cling to others. By contrast, Holmes's Baker Street chambers are represented by some familiar items housed on a dark brown wooden platform which fits snugly in the 1 o'clock notch. A waist-high shelf at the back is faced with floral William Morris-style wallpaper. Resting on top is a collection of dusty leather volumes, along with Holmes's violin and bow, a wooden sword, a brass candlestick, and a box of crayons. A small bookcase stands in front, to the left, containing more books and a wooden cigar box. Leaning against its side is a large black sketchbook. To the right is a dark wood swivel chair with a faded green velour seat. A rectangular tapestry-covered burgundy cushion edged with gold tassels sits on a small grey suitcase, doubling as a low footstool. To complete the chambers, a large metal-edged trunk will be wheeled on and located at roughly 2 o'clock. In front, almost centre stage, will be a small wooden table with a walking cane on it and a sturdy oblong four-legged stool. 3 jackets and hats hang on an old-fashioned coat stand at the main entrance. Several sizeable set items are also manoeuvred on and off stage for particular scenes, including a very large panelled navy blue wooden door with brass fittings. The transom window above it tells us this is number 221B. In addition, a quirky station sign signals the arrival of Watson and Sir Henry on Dartmoor. In capital letters, one side of it says, "We come to Dartmoor." The other, "We come to Dratmoor." Likewise, an enormous sandstone fireplace and grate containing burning logs and with a heraldic hound crest at the top transports us to Baskerville Hall. Its design replicates the arched, ivy-clad entrance to the house, which has been constructed over the stage's main entrance. And, speaking of Baskerville Hall, a beautiful scale replica of this gloomy Gothic building, complete with flickering lights in the windows, will be brought on by the play's stage manager, Jay. A large brass bed will also make an appearance, as will a snooker table and cue. In addition, several certain props double up as set items. So, in various combinations, the table, stool and trunk become seats in the sauna at the London Steam Rooms, a horse-drawn hansom cab or a train compartment, while a picture frame doubles as a window. 3 more windows and a door frame will be flown in for a much later scene set in Stapleton's house, along with banisters surrounding a deep stairwell which opens up in the stage floor. We'll also mention other important props, Holmes's calabash pipe and magnifying glass, Watson's stethoscope, Stapleton's butterfly net, guns, umbrellas, a handheld smoke machine, food platters, letters and notes, assorted farm animals in differently sized sacks. Yes, really. And even a leaf blower. Last but not least, a large wicker basket containing a motley collection of wigs and hats is used to comic effect to convey portraits of the Baskerville family through the generations. And if you're wondering whether there is indeed an actual hound, then listen out for all the dramatic sound effects, along with our descriptions of the atmospheric lighting, imaginative floor projections, and the swirling mists and fogs which accompany this spooky tale. That completes my introduction to the set. I'll now pass over to Brenda, who will tell you more about the characters and costumes.
The costume designs relate to the late Victorian period, with characters dressed from head to toe in formal Victorian attire. But muted colours have been dialed up, and each character associates with a particular colour. And maybe with some eccentric twists, additions, and often subtractions when rapid costume changes take place. Actors Elise Liebird, Jerome Marsh Reed, Alex Phelps and Tom Richardson will break the fourth wall and perform as themselves, but they're still acting a version of themselves. Confused? No. Well, I was. And all four play all of the other characters, except, of course, for Slasher Seldon's invisible horse, Mr. Sparklehorse. We first meet actor Tom Richardson playing Sir Charles Baskerville, the Squire of Baskerville Hall. Tom is in his early 40s, tall, of medium build with short mid-brown hair parted to his left and has a hint of a beard and moustache. He has a long face and, as Sir Charles, wears a solemn expression. Sir Charles is clad in a dark brown fitted woolen overcoat, trimmed with brown velvet collar and cuffs. It flares from the waist and falls to just below the knee. It's worn over a grey waistcoat with a watch chain, over a white wing collar shirt, with narrow black tie, grey trousers, black shoes and a black top hat. Alex Phelps interrupts the scene, playing himself, although in costume for his part as Sherlock Holmes. He's in his 30s, of average height and build, with his mop of brown hair now trimmed and tamed. He has a round face with an upturned nose. He wears a green brocade patterned waistcoat with maroon revers, pocket trim, buttons and back, over a white high-collared shirt held with a thin green pattern tie, teamed with brown trousers, held with braces and brown shoes. He seems to have an air of confidence. His hands gesture wildly as he struts the space. Jerome Marsh Reed, referred to as Jay, steps in playing either himself or the stage manager, or both. He's in his 30s, tall with a muscular-toned figure and short jet-black tightly curled hair. He has a pencil moustache and a trimmed goatee beard. He has a long face with a high forehead. He wears a close-fitting long-sleeved black sweatshirt with white New Vic letters printed back and front, black cargo pants and black boots, and a stage management headset. A black leather tool bag is strapped to his waist. He dashes about the space delivering props and costumes, some props worn on his head. Poor Jay. Elise Liebird plays herself. She's in her 20s, 5'4" with a trim figure. She has mid-length dark brown hair fastened back in a plait. She wears a rust-coloured houndstooth check waistcoat, a white-coloured shirt and a dark red tie. Over the waistcoat, a crossover brown leather holster holds a small revolver. Light brown tailored trousers and highly polished brown lace-up shoes suggest a dignified and competent look, which contradict Watson's slightly bumbling character. The look is topped off with a smart brown bowler hat. In Baker Street, we meet Sherlock Holmes, Conan Doyle's fictional detective, played by Alex. He puts on a double-breasted burgundy velvet smoking jacket, trimmed with black lapels, cuffs and frogging, and matching velvet tasselled smoking hat, his calabash pipe and magnifying glass to hand. Later, he wears a maroon frock coat, and of course he will wear his trademark green tartan deerstalker hat and Inverness cape. Dr. Watson, Holmes' trusty partner, is played by Elise, a rust-coloured houndstooth check morning coat now added to her outfit. Mortimer, a friend and doctor to Sir Charles Baskerville, played by Tom, wears a formal black woollen frock coat over a grey check waistcoat, white wing collar shirt and thin black tie, black trousers, shoes and top hat. Nervously his brow furrows, he checks his gold-rimmed spectacles. In the London steam rooms we meet hale and hearty Sir Henry Baskerville, played by Tom. At the moment he's the last in the line of the Baskervilles. He steps down the aisle clad in a white vest, a white towel decorated with one red maple leaf motif, secured at the waist, covering his bold red and white check boxers, patterned with maple leaves. The towel has a hidden pocket with red maple leaf motif, all teamed with red and white maple leaf pattern socks, held with suspenders. Oh, and one tan lace-up shoe. To complete his sartorial outfit, he sports a pale grey Stetson hat. Later, he wears a grey overcoat over a very loud, bright yellow jacket, teamed with very loud, bright yellow Rupert Bear check waistcoat and trousers, white wing collar shirt, blue spotted cravat secured with a maple leaf tie pin, and a pair of shoes. Holmes and Watson wear towels over their clothes. Jay wears an A-board advertising the steam rooms. On the London streets, Jay unexpectedly steps in as a cabbie, a bowler hat unceremoniously plonked on his head as he twirls an open umbrella held horizontally at his side to represent the speeding cab wheels. A second cabbie without a cab is played by Tom. He wears a black Inverness cape and black bowler hat. A numbered sign hangs around his neck. At Waterloo Railway Station, we meet Alex. His shoulders hunch as he plays a grumpy old railway guard. He wears a loose mid-blue uniform jacket and kepi-style hat with patent peak and embroidered badge and brown trousers. At a country railway station in Dartmoor, we meet two yokels, Bob and Jeff, played by Elise and Tom. Each wears a light-coloured knee-length smock, wide-brimmed felt hat trimmed with straw, neckerchief, and they chew on a stalk of corn. Slasher Selden, the Notting Hill murderer, escapee from Dartmoor Prison, is played by Alex. With an invisible rope, he drags in his invisible horse, Mr. Sparkle Horse. Slasher Selden wears loose-fitting grey shirt and trousers patterned with black prison arrows and a soft pillbox hat, trimmed with ginger curls. Taxi is written on the front of the hat. His figure may be bent, but his movements are fraught and frenzied. On the moor at the Grimpen Mire, we meet Jack Stapleton, the local naturalist chasing butterflies, and his sister, Cecile, both played by Alex. Jack Stapleton wears a tweed Norfolk jacket, belted with a pleated back, black trousers, shoes and hat. An impressive white imperial moustache decorates his face. His weapon, a large butterfly net. Cecile Stapleton wears a pink-striped full-length dress trimmed with lace. It has a bodice fitted and leg of mutton sleeves and bell-shaped skirt with red bustle. Blonde ringlets cascade from a close-fitting hat decorated with pink and red flowers and an ornamental comb shaped from lace. A magenta pink, much-used Spanish fan completes her outfit. At Baskerville Hall, we meet the eccentric staff, Barrymore the butler and his wife, Mrs. Barrymore, both played by Alex. Barrymore wears a pale yellow waistcoat with red and black horizontal stripes and brown trousers and a brown, ill-fitting, spade-shaped neck beard. Mrs. Barrymore eventually wears a full-length pale green and white check dress, matching mob cap and long white apron. Her bright red hair matches her bright red nose, which she dabs with a duster. The dress has padding built into it. She has a full figure. Back on the moor, we meet a hermit. It's Holmes in disguise. He wears a grey cobwebby, bedraggled garment and matching beard. Holmes has other disguises. The vicar, a little girl, and a hot dog? Don't ask. Stage management step in occasionally as support. They wear black New Vic tops and black trousers. Please listen on for the credits. Director Joyce Branner, designer Elizabeth Wright, lighting designer John Harris, sound designer and composer Lee Affen, physical comedy director Nick Haverson, choreographer Beverly Norris Edmonds, and casting associate Angie Carroll. Production management, the New Vic Theatre team. Well, we hope you enjoy the show.